Welcome to ESG Energize, where we discuss the latest developments in the environmental, social, and governance arena that are impacting the energy industry today. Here is your host, Delfina Govia.
This is Delfina Govia, your busy business boss, executive, strategist, and transformational leader, whose mission on this show is to educate, engage, and energize the global community on topics of sustainability and ESG. So, Sustainability Champions audience, I am here at the SELF Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation Student Symposium hosted by EDP Renewables at the Hess Tower. And for this episode, I have a co-host, Sonia Cacique. Say hi to the sustainability audience.
Well, hello, everyone. Glad you're here with us.
And tell my audience why I dragged you along to help me do this. Tell us about what you do and your background.
Yeah, well, first of all, you invited me somewhere where we're going to have students and education, and that's where I want to be.
Girl, and these kids are amazing, I'm telling you.
Oh, so inspirational. I love being here. So to your audience, my name is Sonia Cacique. I am founder of Discover You, College and Career Coaching, and the podcast host of the College and Career Ready podcast.
So see, she was perfect to come here and help me interview these students that are about to blow us away.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that I'm just really passionate in my mission is to connect parents and teens to the world outside of the classroom. There is so much learning that can happen, and we are seeing it right now.
Yes. So let's dive right into it, Sonia.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, everybody. And we're going to make sure to get some air conditioning going because I know this is a little steamy. So we'll make sure that happens. But again, thank you so much to all of you for joining us here today. My name is Tom Weirich. I'm the lead for marketing and stakeholder relations for North America for EDP Renewables. We're the fourth largest owner of renewable energy globally, and we're one of the top five owners of renewables here in North America. We're just so excited to have you here. I think all of you are embodiments of who we're looking for that's going to help lead the industry moving forward. You know, in these talks, I'm going to keep it short. No one likes to listen to somebody speaking for 10 minutes. But there's two eyes I want to leave with you. One, impact, and two, innovation. They're very important eyes. All of you are part of the impact I think we're trying to create here. Every single idea that you bring to the table today, literally to the tables today, every single idea you cross-pollinate across your cohorts here, across all of your colleagues in the school districts here in Texas, you're promoting an environment of innovation. Every single one of you has a role to play, and never, never, never minimize or mitigate the importance you each play in not only the overall energy industry, right, but the important thing we're trying to do in renewables. And we're going to have people calling in. So there's a really important role that you all play. Now, here for Texas, you're in the right place, right? We're the energy capital of the United States, and there's the right mix of people and talent here to make your dreams happen. So I was actually speaking earlier today with one of your colleagues who's going to be presenting on behalf of students, and I was telling her, you know, one thing that's really cool about renewables and about energy is you're never by yourself. There's always team members you can amass, and one of the most important things you'll learn in life is as you put forward ideas and try to commercialize the ideas that you all have here, remember that there's talent around you that you want to surround yourself with. One of the most important things other than the idea that you pull together is having the right team around you to make your dreams happen and make your vision a reality. So you might have those team members around you today, you know? Folks around you in your teams, other teams, right? Make sure to keep an eye out and remember everyone's names because one day you might bump into somebody who's in this room and you might be pitching each other. You might be helping finance each other's project. You might be helping to permit somebody's project. You might be on a utility board trying to get interconnection going. So remember that it's really important to remember that the impact you make here today will last the entire life. Another thing is you're creating a community here. And that's something that's really important. As we innovate our ways out of challenges we have today to the challenges of tomorrow, innovation is going to be key and important. So remember to constantly feed that innovation. Take those classes that are important to you. I mean, you need to have a good foundation, right, to be able to innovate and solve those issues. So really challenge yourself and know that each one of you has the innovative gifts needed that we need today. So I'm going to stop there. We're just so excited to have you here. Again, we'll turn on the AC. We'll make sure you cool down. And listen, if you have any questions, I'll be circulating around. A couple of my colleagues will be coming in and out. But again, know that you're welcome, especially for the renewable sector, the future. We need you. We are short-staffed. We're short-handed. As you know, energy demand will continue to increase. So just know that the renewable energy industry has a wide open door for all of you, and we're counting on you. Each and single one of you, we're counting on you, and we're going to be following you. So thank you again for joining us here. Thanks for being part of this innovative day. And again, just keep on doing what you're doing, and we'll be here to support you. So with that, thank you so much.
So back again this year from
South Early College High School.
Miss Allen has brought her contingent of students that blew us away last year. And we're going to go around, and I would just like your first names. We're going to start over here.
Elon Hurd.
Juan.
Jordan.
Valentina.
Kaylee.
Catherine.
Jolie.
Vanessa.
Jacqueline.
Miguel. And Miguel.
Two Miguels. Two Miguels for the price of one. All right. How many projects did the students bring to the symposium this year?
One project, but a collection of projects.
Okay.
One big project.
Ah, okay. And the first question that I have is any of this going to be a follow-on from last year? Yes?
Yes and no. So this was a spark from last year. So then here we're trying to figure out now how can we feed people for free? And then we also were trying to figure out how can we then grow from last year's project and just to keep growing.
Okay, so who are going to be my spokespersons? Two Miguels and a Jacqueline. All right.
And then we have Jordan and Valentina.
All right, so who do I start with?
You can start with Miguel.
Miguel. Miguel number two.
Damn, I'm number two?
Well, dude, it's like you were there in line, man.
True.
You know?
True. All right. So basically, the start of our project is due to food deserts, which is essentially like there's no fresh food in a certain area. So, for example, we made a survey on students in our school and around the place, and we asked them how far is the closest grocery store and how long does it take to walk there and how long does it take to drive there. And after studies, we showed that roughly an average on driving, every student lives around like 20 minutes away from grocery stores. Yeah, they're kind of far.
Even by car?
Even by car. By walking, minimum is like a 4 hours, 3 hours minimum by walking to a grocery store. And so with that, we decided, hey, we need to find a way to be able to provide food for ourselves without having to go that long of a distance and just like make it more fresh. Because a lot of times in grocery stores, the food isn't even fresh. It's like all refrigerated and sometimes it's old and they refrigerate it to make it last longer. While we're providing to grow for ourselves so we don't have to deal with that.
Okay. All right, Miguel, number one. What do you have to add?
To add on to that, because that they really sparked that that drive to create an environment where we can not only be self-sustainable but become more healthy, we decided to do a community outreach where we held a fair to showcase all the different, or to showcase how to create a sustainable garden using inexpensive recycled materials.
Okay, so if I'm understanding, the first thing that you did was you did a survey to say how big is the problem?
Yes.
Right? And the number one problem is that there seems to be a distance between where people reside and where they have access to purchase food. Yeah. And a secondary problem is the food that they have access to, the stores that they have access to, don't provide the freshest of products for them to purchase. So then the next step was to say, okay, what can we do about this? Did I get that right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to tell us what some of the things are that you can do about it, right, Jacqueline?
Yeah.
All right.
So the thing is, we decided it would be best to like recycle stuff because we had old chemistry textbooks, and those papers can be used to do compost that can help us grow our plants. So we decided to use old chemistry textbooks. We decided to use coffee grains as well in order to make our soil, because we need soil first in order to put it in our stuff. And then after that, we decided to use our recycled material, decided to cut it so it could be like a little holder for our plants. After that, we decided it will be best to use the rest of the materials to make a poster, to make flowers out of the recycled materials.
So Jacqueline has just described this beautiful display that they have here. Sonia, you want to grab a picture of that? And we're going to post that on LinkedIn when this episode airs. And this, I just, Miss Allen, what, where do old chemistry textbooks go to die normally?
Normally, they either just discard them in the trash, or sometimes, depending on what the year is, it could be donated to other schools. So what this was is a great way of it not hitting the trash, and it was a great way for us to use as a basis for our compost. And so, of course, we got administration's permission, you know, so that way we could do it, and it was a really great help and be able to utilize it for our project. And then you could use your own at home, like if you have notebooks or even workbooks or things like that that are black and white newspapers, to start creating your own compost at home.
So part of what these children did was is they're bringing viable solutions to families, that families they could say, hey, you could go do this yourself in your house.
Right, and that's what Jordan and Valentina here, they can talk to you about how they actually build the sustainable garden out of everything that is recycled.
Okay, so again, what we're looking at are recycled water bottles, it looks like, and
soda bottles.
There's beautiful plants growing out of them. And you said coffee grounds, is that what you said, Jacqueline?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's something, I just learned something there. I didn't know that you could do that. All right,
and
so.
I noticed too that when you put water on one, it starts dripping.
Yes.
To the,
it's a whole system,
a whole
that, they've
system.
That they've created.
I love
okay,
it.
So Valentina. Oh, we're gonna start with Jordan.
So I'm the one who designed and built it. They're my assistant. The project manager. My apologies.
Project manager, lead engineer.
But
lead engineer, okay.
So for the design, we based it off of a hydroponic garden we have at the school. But we wanted to obviously be more affordable, so it aligns with the project's goals. We couldn't do that, obviously, because a actual hydroponic system is like 1,000-something. So we thought of what's the easiest way, the most renewable way, and what better choice than something you would have at your house, coffee filters, coffee grinds, water bottles, jugs, anything you could think of. And one thing I love about the design is it's easily modular. You could pick whatever size water bottle you want, whatever size jug, gallon, however many you want, wherever you want to put it. We chose a fence as like a model for it, but you could put on your windowsill, your actual wall if you want to do that for a reason. And it's good indoors, outdoors, wherever you want.
Access to sunlight.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you want to throw in a little money, but you could buy like a little bulb for it if you want to grow it indoors, but that's completely up to you if you want to spend money or not. You obviously don't want to because that's not the point of the project, but if you want, that's also an option.
Well, this is Texas, right? We got
Texas.
Plenty of sunshine,
exactly.
Right?
This
okay.
is one of the students who went to the fair, and this is what she's growing inside of her house. So this one has only seen house light, hasn't been outside.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. I have to know, what is this music performance? Who's going to talk to me about this music performance that we're seeing? Come on, Elon, get over here.
So at South Hurley, we have a lot of students that are very good with their music. I think it's really cool. They have certain hobbies and whatnot. And these are just four students that casually bring their guitars to school. And they will usually sometimes perform during different performances. And we got them to do this during our fair for this. So it was really nice of them to volunteer.
How clever.
And do that.
They're really making it attractive for other people to get involved and participate.
Yes.
Yeah,
all
right. We invited the community. We had great parent support. And we were able to, we set up all these different booths that taught you about the benefits of eating plants. We made pico de gallo, so the benefits of eating pico. Like, for example, the cilantro is a chelator that helps take heavy metals out of the body.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so it's actually this really healthy food, and the fact that educating the consumer, saying, look, you know, you could be your own here little doctor growing your medicine, and like a holistic approach, and just educating on the benefits of plants, and also therapy as well. Like, you got to paint, you got to plant. They had made compost balls. Like, if you look over here, they made like compost balls. They got to put them all together, and we had a nice fair for our community, and it was really nice to have everybody come out.
So you know what I hear, Delfina? I hear cross-collaboration.
Yes.
Cross collaboration, and I hear community building. I heard you said parents and the community, and I love that.
Yes.
See, they blew us away last year, and they're blowing us away again this year.
I know. There are many partnerships, like HISD, HCC, and also coffee grain business.
Yeah, there's a Java.
Oh.
Yeah, they donated coffee for us. The Java Pure, and then Jordan's mom works there as a manager, and she helped us. And then we also had HISD Nutrition. They donated the seeds for us.
Wow. And so I'm just going to tell everybody what we're looking at here as well on the board. They're growing peas, beans, tomatoes, corn. Oh, my gosh. Beets. Okay, beets aren't making me hungry, but the rest of this is making me hungry. All right. So closing remarks. Comments, remarks.
This, go ahead. This also took us 1 month. All of this took us like exactly 1 month.
That doesn't sound like very long. It sounds like this took all year long.
To design all that, it's like a month. But if you want to build it on your own, it would take no more than like a day.
Because you had a whole team.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You had your senior engineer over here. Your project manager, senior engineer over here to save your butt, Jordan, so that this could actually get built.
But to actually build it after you get all the resources, of course, it would take no more than like a day, a couple hours, just actually collecting it. That's kind of the tricky part, actually designing it. After you have a clear mindset of what you want, then that's whenever it's like just boom.
Yeah, and the great way that we were also brainstorming after we made a few, we got to talk with a few people here, we learned that... Or we started thinking, like, how can we further give this an outreach? Like, we had, like, a good audience come here, like, or to our school to, like, you know, learn about it. We got to inform them and help them, like, learn about it. But how can we reach more? So we started thinking, if we start taking this to other schools, if we start, like, creating a greater community, we can start bringing this to other schools. We can have, like, kids come together, like, help clean up their local parks. From those recycled materials or from that things they picked up, they can come and... just start, you know, building these gardens. Like, these are very customizable. Like, we had four different versions that were designed by Jordan that we were able to put together and build. And these can go inside apartments, trailers, like houses, your fence, if you don't want to, you know, go through the process making garden bed. And it's like a very good first step through that, like into that world of gardening, recycling, and just really good to, like, you know, help inform just... like our future generations. Like, this is the whole point of like this coming here today, you know, inspiring kids or other kids like us. So to further reach into the minds, like going to schools would be great to, like, you know, further spread this type of information.
And Juan has a great closing fun fact. Yes, here he goes.
0.5% of plastic bottles end up in the ocean. That 0.5% is equivalent to 350 million tons.
Wow.
And just think, like, if everyone just made a small garden in their backyard, in their apartment, in their trailer, in their loft space, wherever they wanted to, like, on top of helping yourself, you're also saving our world.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, we grow up in the greatest country on earth, and we don't see how some place people in the other parts of the world live. So if you walk through little towns in Italy, everybody has a windowsill garden. Everybody has, right? It's just a different way of life over there. And this is kind of common to them. But for us here, this is not. But I have another observation. Last year, I kind of remember the members of your team represented the president of the student body, the president of the Honor Society. And what I'm seeing here is, how many students did you bring?
11.
11? They are all student leaders in and of themselves, and just kind of paving the way.
Yeah, it's right? Really, it's really nice. It's really nice because they actually got to experience different parts of like industry. Like you had a manager, a project manager, an engineer. They had all different roles because this was all student driven. So then they had parent volunteers. They got students. You know, and then I was really funny with our lead manager. I was like, "How do you feel?" She's like, "Miss Allen, I'm a bit stressed right now."
Welcome to adulting.
Welcome to adulting, right? But then too, they got that experience of leading like teams and like over like 75 students, making sure everything got into order, and they actually got a little taste. You know, do I want to get into this when I get older? How can I make this better next year? And right now we have a mixture of grades. You know, for the actual fair, we had from 9th to 12th. Right here today, we have 10th and 11th. So then now they can see how they can grow for next year. And then, like, you know, Valentina was saying, that how can we make this a bigger educational event for more of our population?
I love it. I love it. Let's hear a woo-woo.
Woo-woo!
Thank you once again, Miss Allen, and the representatives from?
South Early College High School.
Awesome.
Yay!
Hi, and you are?
I'm Biani Cervantes from Eisenhower High School.
So, Biani?
Yes.
Okay, Biani, you're also from Eisenhower High School?
Yes, I'm from
Eisenhower. What was your project about? Are you here by yourself? Is this just your sole project?
Yes, it's just me.
Was there anybody else that was working on this project with you that couldn't make it?
No, it was just me.
Okay.
Yeah, all just right, me collecting the... Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, okay. Just me collecting the data on my own. But yeah, my project is based on air quality inside of my school. Basically, like, you know, air quality is a pretty big issue in our community. And schools, stores, everything. What I did was like I tested 5 different locations out of my school, inside of my school, that had like activities going on. As you see, like there was like in culinary they were cooking food, and then cosmetology they were doing people's hair. So yeah, the 5 locations were my environmental science class, culinary arts, welding, cosmetology, and photography. I did test the air quality during the morning and the afternoon. And I just wanted to see which one has the worst air quality and the best air quality. And my results were that my environmental class had the best air quality. And I think it's mainly because like it was spacious and has like big bends, and it has like windows as well. And the one with the worst air quality was welding. Pretty much because, like, you know, there were like large amount of like gases and like fumes like releasing to the air, you know.
So I have a question, Biani. I'm looking at the picture. My audience can't see the picture because, you know, this is a podcast, but I'm looking at the picture, and there is a student wearing safety goggles, but there is nobody wearing masks. Is it common only to wear safety goggles in the welding shop?
I think it is, mainly because, like, the mask, like, even though it's safe to wear it, it also, like, bothers the students. If you know.
Let me ask you this. How did you even come up with the idea or the thought that air quality was an issue?
I mean, in my school, like, there's like students get sick easily. Like, that's like a pretty big issue as well. So I just came up with the idea, and I was like, oh, you know what? Let me like test the air quality. Like, maybe like it could be like something in the school, like, that could be affecting us, or, you know.
Wow. Okay, so what data did you collect specifically? It looks like there were different types of gases. What are you collecting here?
Yeah, I was collecting the AQI, the air quality index, and I just wanted to like see which one had the best air quality and which one had the worst air quality.
Okay, so we've established that the environmental science room was the best and the welding was the worst. Okay, so what are we doing with this data?
Well, pretty much I just want to, like, take action on, like, improving the air quality. So I did discuss with my principal, and I told him that maybe we could replace the air filters or put like air quality sensors inside of our classrooms to like monitor the air quality basically.
Is this information, this now new knowledge that you have, being shared beyond just with your teacher and your principal?
Not yet. I haven't shared it with everybody at school, you know? It was just me and my principal, but like not like the people around or nothing.
Okay, so what are the next steps?
Basically share this information to everybody and take action on installing air quality sensors and monitors in our classrooms.
What is your biggest takeaway from this project? What was the most important thing that you learned out of all of this?
I did learn that, I would say that air quality could impact our school, mainly because, as I said, like people get sick pretty quickly. So maybe by like making a change, you know, people are gonna show up to school or just
raise awareness for the mm-hmm. Wonderful. Biani, thank you so very much. And thank you for being on our show. So we are here talking to
Taylor
and
Kayla.
Kayla and Taylor, and what school are you from?
Eisenhower High School.
One more time?
Eisenhower High School.
Where is Eisenhower High School?
In Houston, on the north side. It's maybe like 20, 30 minutes away.
Okay. Would you please tell us about your project, which is called Breakfast Food Waste?
Yes.
So tell us.
Okay, so recently this year, we have seemed to have a problem for the grade levels of not getting the same breakfast or whatever. So 10th graders, they get hot breakfast, while 11th and 12th graders, we get cold breakfast. And we've seen that the 11th and 12th graders have been wasting the breakfast because it's not as equal to what the 10th graders get, and it's not good.
Why are the 10th graders getting a hot breakfast, but the 11th and 12th graders are getting a cold breakfast?
Okay, this year, since the school got bigger, they split us up in the morning. Now, they split us in different groups. So 10th graders, they have them sit in the morning for holding in the cafeteria, while 11th and 12th grader, we sit in the auditorium and in the gym.
Okay.
And then when the bell rings, they don't let us go in the cafeteria to get hot breakfast. They have little stands outside with Pop-Tarts, peanut butter and jellies, and cold donuts and stuff like that. And we notice that kids are throwing it in the way. That's all that's in the trash can is the cold to-go breakfasts.
So it's a logistical issue. It's not not anything other than a logistical issue is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And so this is going to sound like a silly question. Why are, now you're in what grade?
11. We're 11th graders.
You're both 11th graders.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, Kayla, do you throw away your food?
Yes, or either. I just don't get it because I know I'm going to throw it away.
There's the question that I had. So why are kids taking the breakfast if they're not going to eat it? Do they feel obligated? Do they feel...
I feel like some kids think that they should just get the breakfast because they want to put something on their stomach, but they don't really want it or want to eat it because they would rather have biscuits or sausage biscuits or something like that, but they're given peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And like we said, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, so they feel like they have to put something on their stomach. But eating that every day, it's tiring.
Okay, so walk us through your presentation here and what you studied and what you concluded.
Okay, so what we did was to collect our data. We did like a Google Forms thing, and we asked the various questions from multiple choice to free response. So out of the 7 questions, the first question was we asked them what grade were they in. Majority of the students were in 11th and 12th grade. Well, 11th grade. The second question was a free response question. It was, how do you feel about the new breakfast assignments for this year? What is your input on the 10th graders being able to eat hot breakfast in the cafeteria and the 11th and 12th graders are not? And some of the responses consisted of, I don't like it because I feel as though we should be able to sit in the cafeteria. Some of them, they just said it's unfair. Somebody said, I don't think it's fair, I'm not gonna lie, everyone should have the same rights.
And then the third question was, have you ever thrown away your food because you don't like it? And most of the students said yes. It was 51% of the students said yes. The fourth question was another free response question. It was, what would keep you from throwing it away if you do throw away your breakfast? And some of the responses consisted of, what would keep me from throwing away the breakfast is if it was fresh and warm. Another student said, one of the students said, if we could pick and choose what we wanted, and if we didn't want something, can we like get a proportional size? The fifth question was a two-option question. What do you prefer? Do you prefer a hot breakfast in the cafeteria or a to-go breakfast? And 66% of the children said that they would want hot breakfast. Question six was another free response question. It was, explain why do you or do not like your food? And they said, it's really sad and depressing. Some kids say it's cold. Some kids say it makes them sick. And then some kids, they feel like it makes them not want to be at school. They say the school is trying to get rid of them. And the last but not least, the last question was another free response question. It says, what change do you wish can be made in the morning for breakfast? One student said, how is it set up and just have everyone in the auditorium and the cafeteria and just have both options available for each student. So like have the to-go breakfast and the hot breakfast there for certain kids that don't want hot breakfast, they can still get to-go breakfasts so they won't have to wait in line. Some kids said for it to be hot and fresh. Some kids said, what change I wish that can be made in the morning for breakfast is for all of us and juniors and seniors to be able to get hot breakfast. And our proposed plan of action from all of this data was we're going to meet with our principal and our APs and discuss the data that we collected and that we can get everybody to able to get hot breakfast. And we did do that, and he said he's considering it back, and he's going to have a meeting. He's going to talk to everybody about that and see gets other APs and other people at the school opinions on that, so we can try to get that back. And then another proposed plan of action is to search for any other problem that would hold us back from getting back to everybody eating in the cafeteria.
Very impressive. I mean, I think that's really an important point that most people would miss, and that is, we want to do all this stuff, but is there something that would stop us that we have to figure out that as well? If not, we just did all of this for nothing. Right.
And also, as current 11th graders, since, well, me and her, we don't get the to-go breakfast because we don't want to waste it. Sometimes we try to go in the cafeteria, but the APs, they be like, no, you can't come in here because it's time to go to class. But school started at 7 o'clock, and we go in there at 6:50, and we take our breakfast, and we go to our coach class. But she don't let us in, and she shut the door because she said we're not allowed in there. But all we want is hot breakfast, so we won't waste the food.
So for us, we need to eat, because sometimes we don't get. We be at school to 6:30, and like we need, at least sometimes we can't make it to lunch, because sometimes I stay in class to finish up work so I can be able to do my student athlete activities. So sometimes I do need breakfast, and sometimes it be hard. Yeah, they don't care about that.
Okay, so what is this athleticism we're talking about?
We do cheer.
You're both cheerleaders.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my. If we had more room, I'd make you guys do a cheer for me.
We could later.
So how do you feel this has been received? Do you feel that the students were open to this study? Were people willing to give you responses? And on the other side, was the administration willing to work with you on this? Do they also recognize that it's a problem?
The students, they were actually excited because I had some of my teachers, I used two of my teachers, her classes, because they have a mixed class of all grade levels, so I used two of them. We used our cheer coach also, and we did a QR code. And they were excited once they seen the questions. They were excited. They was like, oh,
bring up the topic. They're scared to bring it up.
We actually brought it out of them, and we did it anonymously so they can be able to express themselves so they won't get in trouble or feel the need that they have to hold back what they're holding inside. And when we brought it up to administration, at first, they were like kind of iffy on it. But now, once we actually collected other students' data to see that we weren't just feeling that way, they kind of opened up to it.
Great. So you guys are feeling good about this?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So when do we get the next chapter of this? When do we know what the go-forward plan is going to be?
I don't think they're going to change it in this school year. I think they're going to wait till next school year.
Well, let's hope.
I hope.
You guys are going to push it.
We got it.
Okay.
I love it.
Thank you very much, Kayla and Taylor.
Thank you.
Join us again next week on the ESG Energized podcast, a production of the Oil and Gas Global Network. To learn more, go to oggn.com.